Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Praise the Lord, children of the Most High God. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministries, Blog Talk Radio. We have a wonderful subject on tonight, faith or charismatic witchcraft. That is, faith or charismatic witchcraft. Before we go into that, we're going to open up with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we ask that you bless everyone that is listening on tonight. Father God, we ask that you touch their hearts and mind. Give them a revelation of the word. Father God, touch their hearts and mind and set them free from everything that would have them bound. We come against all hindering spirits right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus, that they will not hinder or confuse anyone that is listening tonight. They will not hinder the broadcast in any way in the name of Jesus. Father God, anyone out there who is suffering with any type of depression, oppression, or any type of illness, Father God, we ask that you touch them, deliver them, and set them free, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. As I said earlier, Our subject on tonight is faith or charismatic witchcraft. We're going to be dealing with that tonight. We're going to bring out a lot of different scriptures. But before we go any further, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, substance, evidence. So, what is the biblical term for substance? So, I looked it up to see exactly what it's talking about in reference to the scriptures. Now, it says in a general sense, it's being something existing by itself, that which really is or exists, equally applicable to matter or spirit. Thus, the soul of man is called an immaterial substance, a cognitive substance. A substance endued with thought. We say a stone is a hard substance, tallow is a soft substance, that which supports accidents. That which subsists by itself is called substance. That which subsists in and by another is called a mode or manner of being. Now, the essential part, the main or material part, in this epitome, we have the substance of the whole book. All right? Something real, not imaginary, something solid, not empty. All right? That's substance. Something that is real. Okay, now, that substance, something that is real. Now, we have evidence, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Now, when you're talking about evidence, it says, one who bears witness, that which is legally submitted to competent tribunal, it's as of a certaining the truth of any alleged matter of fact under investigation before it. Okay, that's evidence. That's evidence. Now, it goes a little further and says, that which makes evident to manifest, that which furnishes or tends to furnish proof, any mode of proof, the ground of belief or judgment as the evidence of our senses, evidence of the truth or falsehood of a statement. It says to render evident or clear, to prove, to evince, as to evidence a fact, or the guilt of an offender. So we're talking about evidence. So we see that substance is something that is real, and then we have evidence that really is something that is part of or pointing to what is real. So that we have it right there. But before we go into any further, since our subject is faith or charismatic witchcraft, we're going to deal with the charismatic witchcraft part of it first. So I'm going to turn this part of our Blog Talk Radio program into the hands of my wife, Catherine Montgomery. Go ahead.
All right. Well, first of all, I just want to say good evening. God bless all of our listening audience. On tonight, we're just so happy you could tune in and be with us. I wanted to just give an announcement. We will be having our services at the Bells Ferry Community Center, 9050 Bells Ferry Road. That's in Canton, Georgia. Service times are 11 o'clock a.m. So if you are in the Canton, Georgia area or surrounding areas, just feel free to come by and worship with us. We are always, like we say in all of our blog talk radios, we only teach the word of God. And we are trusting God. And God told us that this ministry is built on faith. It's not the faith that is so popular that a lot of preachers is going off of, but it's truly the faith in Jesus Christ. So if you are in the area and you want to come by, check, be with us and worship with us, just feel free to do so. All right, I want to just bring out, a lot of people say, well, what is charismatic witchcraft? Like I said, there's a lot of that going on in the church, but I just wanted to bring out some different definitions that may sound kind of familiar with you. You may say, well, I didn't know that was witchcraft. I knew it was something, but I didn't have any idea it was intertwined with witchcraft. Well, when you're talking about witchcraft, you're talking about these are some caution flags in identifying witchcraft. And witchcraft can not only just be in the church, but You can have spouses using witchcraft, even children unknowingly using witchcraft. So it's manipulation, domination, and intimidation. Whenever you run into these three things, it's an evil spirit lurks not far behind. This is the devil's way. He uses manipulate, and God never dominates. God never intimidates. But Satan takes authority by using legitimate means because his authority has been stifled by him, by God. In the same manner, since I am born of the first, even if I am born again, that old man in me still wants to do it my way. And you know that. We might call it, oh, they just strong-willed. You know, I hear that a lot. But when you got to do it your way, that's a form of rebellion. And we know that rebellion is as witchcraft. It's a, they have to do it their way and be in complete control. And you see that a lot. And I'm talking to a lot of women and men. If you just got to have it your way and be in control, you better check yourself because you could be operating as a witch. And I'm not just saying in the slang term, but those are some characteristics of witchcraft. They have to control. It may be in a church, a board of elders, a marriage, or a business. It doesn't matter. When someone asserts authority not given by God, it is called witchcraft. It is rebellion against delegated legitimate authority. With such illegitimate authority, one resorts to manipulating, dominating, or intimidating in order to rule over people. Now, let's go on into bring that out a little bit more. First of all, we have no right to control others. God gave us a free will, and even he will not try to control us. He don't force you to work, serve him. He don't force you to be saved. God, that is not his way. Therefore, we enter into agreement with Satan and his demons when we attempt to control others, and we are practicing witchcraft. Witchcraft is the practice of trying to control others for personal gain. Wow. I'm going to be bringing some stuff out tonight about this personal gain that is so prevalent in the church today. Charismatic witchcraft is exercising control over God, over Christians by leaders or anyone within the church. Charismatic witches use personal prophecy to control others. You can look on TV 24/7 and you can see they will have somebody standing up or one of these TV televangelists talking about they're giving a prophecy, but you need to sow $1,000 seed. That is not of God. That's witchcraft. Because God do not force you to do that. Okay? It says, soul ties are formed with those whom we submit our wills. Soul ties can be formed with leaders of the church as well as with anyone in a cult that we go to for help. A dictatorship type of pastor will form soul ties with the congregation. And you know, you can see a lot of pastors, rather than being just men of God teaching the word, they're more like a dictatorship. They're like a Hitler. Control over the people. People have no thought life. Today we call it mind control, but really it's nothing but a form of witchcraft. You can't speak. You can't do anything because he's a dictator. And the only part, we had Pastor D.M. Williams on the program a few weeks ago talking about how the structure, how they build the structure, so is so out of order. It says the church leaders are cursed by trying to take the place of God in our lives. The congregation is cursed for following men rather than follow God. And that's what we were saying. A lot of congregational, you talk about their pastor or something, and I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about the stuff they teach. They will get mad at you because they don't want to know the truth. They like being brainwashed and using mind control and manipulation. They love that, and that's how a spell does. You can. If you look at TV, when people have that spell over them, they just be in a daze. I mean, they can't even, you don't even think they're in the land of the living. They just like walking zombies. They can't think for themselves. They can't talk for themselves. Okay, we know the master manipulator in the Bible was Queen Jezebel. She was a prime example of controlling others. A Jezebelic woman or man is actually practicing witchcraft as he or she tries to control her family or control others. Charismatic witches are Jezebels, and it's over in Revelation 2 where he said you allowed that prophetess Jezebel. So that's over in Revelation. So it's not just over in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament as well. A lot can be written about this subject. There are many demons associated with control of others. This practice is basically, like I said, called mind control. When you can't think for yourself, you got to depend on this particular person you have made an idol to tell you what to do, tell you where to go to work, tell you who to marry. I mean, there's so much of this foolishness going on, it's a shame. Some things we need to, first of all, we have to break these curses off of our lives because we could be operating, going year to year to year, and not knowing we're operating under a Jezebel spirit. Even if you're Christian, you can be under mind control. And God do not control anybody like that. God wants us to give them our heart freely. Another form of rejection you can be experienced is rejection by Christian brothers, sisters. You know, if you're not in some of these people's little group, they totally reject you. They don't want to have anything to do with you, witchcraft. Because if we're all of God, then we should be brothers and sisters of the Lord. But if you're not in their little cult, their little sect, they don't want to have anything to do with you. You can also feel rejection between deliverance workers or pastors. See, people, we need to be careful with this. This is some serious stuff. There is also other type of mind control, bindings, confusion spirits, all this stuff will get put on you, greed, covetous, mammoth. So I wanted to go into some of the things that some of these, I would say, manipulators, these are master manipulators in the church. I mean, they know their game and they know it well. And if you're not careful and you're not reading your words, you could be sucked up into this manipulation. And the one thing that they use is that money. I mean, they love their money and they'll let you know, I love my money. This is one particular person, A. Vanzini. I know you heard of him, but he says the hundredfold is for this time we're in. What we do with the hundredfold in the streets of heaven, because heaven streets are made up of gold. He says you need the hundredfold because people need salvation. Harvest time is the most expensive time on the farm. See how they twist the gospel? So you need abundance. So what he really saying, I need abundance. Okay. According to A. Vanzini, he says, God loves nice things. He's not a spendthrift, but a waster. Listen to this foolishness. And people sit up on it. I mean, they saw billions of dollars into this garbage. Since we are made in his image, this is what he says, we have an excuse to have rich taste. A. Vanzini says, God is a snappy dresser, but so was the rich man in the story of Lazarus. Now, see, people, this is why I'm saying we have to read the Bible. We have to search the scriptures because there's so much witchcraft. There's so much deception going on laced under Christianity. A. Vanzini says he feels the hundredfold in his hand. If you pass by his hands, you would feel it too. You can decide whatever you want. You can decide whatever you want the hundredfold to apply to your marriage, your business, your finances, make the offerings, go tell the prophet. So what he's saying, whatever you want, you sow this hundredfold seed in my hand, and you can have, see how that sounds? You can have whatever you want. God is totally out the picture. Now he's pointing to him. Pass by me, the prophet, touch me, let it touch my hand, and you will be blessed. People is falling for it. You pay the prophet, and you get the prophet's blessing. This is what he's saying. And so you can see how these liars is going around with deceptiveness, And then another one, they say about seed time is not harvest. They are different seasons, but Avanzini and others promises instantaneous results as they pronounce the hundredfold and supposedly break the power of debt, you know. So it's a get out of debt free card. You won't have debt if you sow into my ministry. You know, this is mind control. The miracle of cancel debt is unfortunately not applied to those who didn't get their pledge to TBN. So if you didn't pay your pledge to TBN, I'm sorry, this get out of debt card won't work for you. This is what they're saying. See the manipulation? You only can sow your seed into this ministry or you won't be blessed. Liars, liars. They are manipulators, the master deceivers, master manipulators. You must pay for your miracle. This is what they say. This is, in essence, what they're saying. No different than Simon the Sorcerer over in Acts, where Paul told him, your money perish with you because the things of God is not for sale. As Avanzini says, when he speaks, God will speak to you. So he really don't took the place of God. If this was the early 1800s, these men would be traveling medicine men known as snake oil salesmen. They were slick. They were selling people lies, and people would buy that snake oil. And this is all they putting over the pulpit, a lot of slick snake oil. And people is buying it, hook, line, and sink. Because they want something quick. They want it easy. They got to have it now. If I don't have it now, then I'm going to turn away from God. Where is your faith? That's why we say, is it faith or is it charismatic witchcraft? Okay, go on down. Here's some more lies. He says, those who exercise special powers today are self-anointed prophets. They say that. Who will bless them? And then they even say when Jesus rolled into town, the same people that cried out Hosanna to him and wanted the kingdom, this is what I'm saying, within a few days they turned on him. So these very people who saying, oh, we want to follow God, if they don't get what they want, they turn on them. Because you've been under this mind control, this deception, and you've been taught by these liars that if you don't get it quick, you don't have faith. That's a lie. Or if you didn't sow in my ministry, you don't have faith. Okay? Another liar, Kenneth Hagin. He said, God desires his children to be wealthy. This is what Hagin said. That God not only wants to deliver believers from poverty, he also wants his children to eat the best. He wants them to wear the best clothing. He wants them to drive the best cars. And he wants them to have the best of everything. Now, that is nowhere in the Bible. That is not in the Bible. Matter of fact, Pastor Bobby is going to bring out just the opposite. Where the people were following God, they wasn't living a lavish lifestyle. Are we saying you got to walk around in abject poverty? No. That's not what we're saying. But we want you to get your priorities straight. Stop being so greedy and stop having a temper tantrum when you don't get what you think you want. I see it so much in the body of Christ. You say, well, God, I need to have a Lamborghini, and if it's got to have the 24-inch rims, it's got to have the chrome finish. And if you don't get it just like that, you have a temper tantrum. What is going on? Here's another one, Copeland. Copeland states, man was rich beyond his wildest imagination before he was ever created. He was born into the right family, and then he laughs. Yeah, he was born where the money was, brother. This is what he said. He was born in a place created just for him. Wasn't created for anybody else, okay? And so this is what they're saying. It's all about money. Then some say poverty is from the devil and that God wants all Christians prosperous. The only people is prospering like that with all these riches and Lamborghinis is them. So if they can feed you a lie to get you manipulated and controlled and you give to their ministry, look who's reaping the benefits. If the seed and harvest time was the way they said it, they would be giving all their money away. But they want you to give to them so they can heap it up on themselves. Jesse Duplantis says the very first thing on Jesus' agenda was to get rid of poverty. I thought it was to save the lost. Wow. Would you like to know why some people, including ministries, never get out of poverty? This is his quote. It's not because they aren't smart. It's not because they don't have the windows of opportunity. It's because they're not anointed. You see how they turn that back to them? We got the special anointing, and we can show you how to get out of poverty. It's just like, just come to Vegas. You can cash in. And this is what they're saying. If you follow our ministry, you'll have the riches. If you're not anointed, this is what he says, poverty will follow you all the days of your life. See how they try to put a curse on you? We're breaking some curses tonight. And if you're sitting under this foolishness, you need to get up out of there. His first objective, this is what he says, was to get rid of poverty. That is a lie. Jesus told you what he came to do, to set the captives free. First of all, if one does not have the anointing, he says they're not a Christian. So the anointing for what? To give them money. They're looking at money. They ain't talking about the anointing of God. It's the anointing they have. They made themselves appointed prophets and pastors to get the money. It's all about the money. Listen to what they say. It's about the money. Are we telling you not to give? No, God loves a cheerful giver. But we're not going to use manipulating and control to try to force you to give money. Okay? This is all they're about. Cut on the TV if you think I'm not telling the truth. Listen to the TV. Just go through some of the channels. It all boils down to sow a seed. Sow a seed. If you got faith, sow this seed right now. And within 7 days, you're going to reap a harvest. What about God? Where is God in all this mess? Okay, Copeland brags, well, now you need balance in this. Get out there in that hyper faith, this is what Copeland says, that name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Yeah, we named it and claimed it and got it. And the crowd just cheers because, see, they're catering to greedy people just like them. Because if your mindset was toward the things of God, that wouldn't faze you like that. Yes, we know God supplies every need. Yes, God knows we have needs of housing, clothing, things of this nature, and we do live good lives. But it's not going to be at the expense of mind control and manipulation. This is not what we're telling you. And if you do go through some hard times, where is your faith? Is it in the things or is it in God, knowing that God is going to bring me out? I don't care what I'm going through. I know he's a deliverer, and he won't make a way for me. Creflo Dollar agrees with Copeland. Why not, since he is a disciple, he is only obligated to do what you say with your mouth. This is how my God. God is obligated to do what you say. You see how they're trying to control God? We need to repent because some of us is picking up this same foolishness, and I've even heard them say, you need to hold God to his word. Why would you need to hold God to his word when God is the word, God knows the word? What is going on? We need to slap some of this stupidness off of these folks because they're running around, they're picking up these demonic heresies, and they're speaking this stuff. It's not of God. That's why Jesus said to the rich young ruler, give all you have to the poor, because he knew where that rich young ruler's heart was. It was after the things of the world, the cares of the world. God is not saying we can't have the things, but he don't want the things to have us. So I just wanted to bring up, and it's many, many more. It's many, many more. I wanted to read this out of 1 Timothy. This is what God is saying about it. It's 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10. If you have your Bibles, you could turn there with me. But anyway, 1 Timothy 6, 9, and 10, he said, but they who will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, he said, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and piercing themselves through many sorrows. You see what God said about that? They love the money so much, rather than teach the things of God, because you're so concerned about you got to get your big 25,000 square foot mansion. You got to have your Learjet. You got to be able to go out on the golf course. And I know some of them even get buying these folks Rolls Royces. What are you driving? Okay, he can drive a Rolls Royce, but what you driving, some little hoopty? You better wake up and stop being under this mind control. Like I said, if I want to drive a Rolls Royce, it will not be at the expense of our congregation. If God bless me with the money, which I wouldn't want one anyway, because to me it's just flamboyant and a lot of arrogance. But when God bless us, I don't have to show the world that I got, this is what God did for me. Because the world, they had the money. So you're not impressing the world. But when that person in the world is going through something, maybe look at Kennedy's ex-wife, how she hung herself. Got all the money you could think of, but that money didn't help her. She was inside she was tormented. She was vexed. She was grieved. And these preachers that God has placed up there in authority, they're so busy talking about money that their job, they have forsook what God told them to do, and they're doing what they want to do, teaching this other Jesus, this other gospel. But it's laced with Christianity, so the masses will follow them. You can follow. It's Pied the Piper. They play on a tune, and only the delusional people will follow them. The people that is under this curse is following them, because other people, they waking up and saying, you know what, this stuff don't work like that. Yeah, God has blessed me throughout the process. God gives me things, but it ain't the way they're talking about it. So I just wanted to bring those things out to you. And at this time, I will turn the floor over to my husband, Pastor Bobby. Amen.
Praise the Lord. My wife, she really brought out some things on that charismatic witchcraft, and the thing about it is, what we need to realize is just as there is, the scripture says there is another Jesus, and in other words, what they're saying is there's a doctrine out there that preaches something that is not in reference to what Jesus Christ actually spoke. They twist it, there's another faith. And that faith is a faith that doesn't point to God or Christ, but it points to man, and it points to the world, and it points to carnality. So it's not a faith that actually lifts up Jesus Christ. It is a faith that lifts you up, and it lifts man up, and that is that false faith. That is that charismatic witchcraft. But since my wife brought up charismatic witchcraft and the signs to look for in that, I'm going to talk about faith a little bit. Now, I already said that there is this other kind of faith which points to man. It brings out man's doctrine. It points to the world. It points to carnality. But it doesn't really lift up Jesus Christ, because it is man's faith. It is man's faith in man, is man's faith in doing what he wants to do. It is a controlling issue. It really doesn't have anything to do with God in that sense. But what I want to talk about is the biblical faith. Now, I spoke earlier about Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what I'm getting ready to say here is that the faith that God is talking about, although what you're believing for is not really there, but yet faith is not blind. Now, substance in reference to the scripture in which I had read it earlier, in reference to the Bible, it says in the general sense, it's being is something existing by itself, that which really is or exists, equally applicable to a matter or spirit. Thus, the soul of man is called an immaterial substance, a cognitive substance, a substance endued with thought. We say a stone is a hard substance, tallow is a soft substance, that which supports accidents. That which subsists by itself is called substance. That which subsists in and by another is called a mode or a manner of being, the essential part, the main or material part. In this epitome, we have the substance of the whole book, okay? It says something real, not imaginary, something solid, not empty. So that's faith. It's something solid. It's something not imaginary. It's not empty. See, faith is the substance. It's real. It's not imaginary. It's solid. Substance. Now, evidence is a thing that really points to the substance. It says that which is legally submitted, I'm talking about evidence, something that is legally submitted to competent tribunal. As of a certain, the truth of any alleged matter of fact under investigation before it means making of making proof, evidence. The latter, strictly speaking, not being synonymous with evidence, but rather the effect to fit. That which makes evident or manifest, that which furnishes or tends to furnish proof, any model, proof, the ground of belief or judgment as the evidence of our senses, evidence of the truth or falsehood of a statement, to render evident, to clear, to prove, to evince, as to the evidence of fact or the guilt of an offender. So that you see that it's a faith. It's real. It's substance. So what do we have faith in? We have faith in God. We have faith in the Word of God and the things of God. For listen to this. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Faith. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. Faith in what? Faith in things? Faith in money? Faith in yourself? No. Faith in God and faith in God's word. And we really need that now with the things that's coming on the earth. With the things that's happening in this world, we're going to have some faith in God, because everything else is going to fail. Everything else is going to fail. But God will never fail. God's word will never fail, because it is real. It is solid. It is not empty. The word is God. The word of God is powerful. It is powerful. It is all powerful. Jesus Christ is all powerful. God is all powerful. So we can have faith and trust in him. We can believe in him. Because he is what is truly real above anything else on the face of the earth. God is truly real. His word is truly real. And his word, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, will destroy anything that Satan brings about. But you have to have faith in God and not in man. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in the tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Listen to this. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. See, God told Abraham something. He told Sarah something. He told them that they would have a child in their old age, and that child would be the promise of the greatness of Abraham and his faith, would have children as the sands of the sea, as the stars of the sky. But when God told Abraham and Sarah that, they were barren. But they believed God's word. And they stood on that word. They had faith in God because they realized, they knew that God was real and his word accomplishes what it is sent out to do, and it will not return unto him void. But whatever God says, he will bring it to pass. But you have to have faith in that word of God and not in these men. Look, don't have faith in me. I'm a man. You have faith in God, and you won't have to worry about anything. I said you won't have to worry about anything. Now, trouble may come. Things is not going to be peaches and cream all the time. You might stub your toe sometimes. You might get a cold. You might get sick. You might lose a job. Death might hit your family. Those things might happen. But that's not going to separate you from the love of God. You shouldn't fall away from God from anything that happens in this life, because this life is temporal. It's temporal. You're not going to live forever. Everything is not going to go well all the time. Jesus Christ didn't say that. He said you'd have persecution. But be of good cheer. This is what Jesus said. Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. In other words, have faith in Christ. Have faith in God. Because Jesus said that nothing can pluck you out of his hand when you believe in God. That means nobody can cause you to backslide or fall away from God if you don't want to. As long as you are holding on and believing in the Lord, you have eternal life. You'll be with the Lord one day. The Lord will accept you into his kingdom. But you got to believe that by faith. You got to walk in that. Now, I'm going to read a few more things, then I'm going to go to some other scriptures. It says here, praise the Lord. Therefore sprang there even of one that and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now, when God told Abraham that, remember, he could not have a child. Sarah was barren. She could not have children. So Abraham, he was believing this by faith in God. Now, listen to this. Hebrews 11 and 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see that, brothers and sisters? They all died in faith, but they themselves didn't receive the promise. But they saw that afar off and were persuaded and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see, we're talking about faith. Faith and patience go hand in hand. Faith is not always right now. I pray I get it right now. That's not what the scripture says. It says some of them didn't receive the promise. They died believing. They died believing in God and trusting and have faith in God and in His Word and what God told them. It hasn't changed. God doesn't change. So what's with all this name it, claim it, call it and grab it, or whatever they talk about? It ain't like that. Now, I'm going to go and read something else. I'm going to go over to James now. I'm going to James 1 and 2. Now, this is in reference to the prayer of faith. Now, listen, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Prayer of faith? You count that joy when you fall into diverse temptation? What? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So what is this about all this? Gotta have, give me my this, give me my that. I gotta have $1 million before I die, the biggest house, the yacht, the airplane, the Rolls Royce. And the Lord just said that it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he also said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, it is possible. But that man have to surrender his heart to God, or else the riches will take him somewhere he doesn't want to go. And we see it every day. Now, James also said in 2 and 14, it says, faith without works is dead. It said, what doeth profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devil also believes and tremble. Did you hear that? If you're not operating and keeping the commandments of God and taking care of your brothers and sisters, in which James says the evidence of your faith, you're really not doing anything, because the devils, they believe and tremble. Okay, now I'm going to read one other thing, and because our time is running low, we only have 8 minutes left. But anyway, if there's anyone who have a desire to call in, our call-in number is 1-323-375-0849. That's 1-323-375-0849. Now, I'm going to go. I like to just bring out the scriptures. I don't like to give you a lot of my thoughts and opinions on anything when it refers to the Lord, or when it refers to the Word of God. But I'm going to read something to you. My wife, she brought out something in reference to riches and what the scripture thinks of that. So I'm going to go into the Word and bring out what Jesus said about this. Now, we're talking about the rich young ruler. It's common in Matthew 19 and 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, Jesus told him to keep the commandments, and the young man wasn't just satisfied with that, so he asked Jesus, Which one, Jesus? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth. Up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because a lot of rich people have faith in their possessions. They have faith in their money. Their money is their God. They have been bewitched by their wealth. They don't have faith in God. They have faith in themselves and in their money. And that's why we're talking about charismatic witchcraft. The young man was doing good until Jesus told him what to do with his money. His love and his faith was in his money. And he could not have faith in God and Christ because he was caught, the money had him. He was bound by his pocketbook and his wallet, and that's all he was concerned about. But listen, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who can be saved? Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible. With God, but with God, all things are possible. You hear that? Did you hear that? Jesus, we're talking about faith. We're talking about faith or charismatic witchcraft. We're living in a day and age when faith has been somewhat skewered. It's been mixed with the world. It's been polluted. And they're not so much teaching. Many people, not all, but many are teaching something that's contrary to the Word of God. It's not going to strengthen you in the things of God. It's not going to strengthen you in the things of the Spirit. It's going to strengthen you in the things of the world. It's carnal. If we want to go with the Lord, if we want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, then we have to have faith in the Lord and in God and in Christ and stop looking at all these material things. Now, it is God's will. It's not God's will that everybody just be poor and broke down, but it's not God's will that we be greedy and that we're have an avarice and carnal attitude and constantly begging and trying to twist God's arm, trying to use witchcraft on the Lord. We're going to make God do something for us. You can't use God's word against him. You can't do that. Jesus said, Thy will be done. That's how we should be. God's will should be done in our life. Praise God. Now, that's faith. Regardless of the circumstance, you're going to trust God. Regardless of if you're doing well or if you're not doing so well, you're going to have faith in God. You're going to praise God. You're going to worship God because you want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Where is your faith? Is it in God or is it masked in charismatic witchcraft? You have to make the decision. You have to rise up and be something in the Lord. And at that, we're going to close it out. Sister Montgomery, close it out.
Amen. We just, Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, you are worthy of all our praise, all our glory. And Lord God, for those of us who have been operating in charismatic witchcraft, we repent of that, Father God. We ask
Amen.
You to forgive us out of ignorance. Some of us just was operating out of ignorance, and some of us well knew what we were doing. But Lord God, we ask for a repentant heart on tonight.
Yes,
we ask, Lord, that you come in, and Lord God, you know our every need. You know the ones that are in need of certain things. And Lord, you're our Father. You're Abba. And you will bless us in accordance to what you think we should have. Lord God, we're not here to try to control you or manipulate you because you are God. And Lord God, we just worship you, Lord God. We ask that you strengthen us, Lord God, in this journey. Because, Lord God, you is the one who gives strength. And you is the one that we should worship, not of our own carnal desires, but we worship you, Father. So, Lord God, we just praise you and we just bless our listening audience. We ask that you strengthen them. We ask that you go into their families. If there's turmoil or something that's out of order, we ask that you come into their homes and bless them, Lord. And we just give you praise and we honor you and we worship you. And we want to say in Jesus' name, to God be the glory. Amen. And we will see you next Friday. Well, next Friday we won't have the program. But to those of you who may be traveling out of town, just be blessed. I know it's the Memorial Day weekend for those who celebrate it. But be blessed, and we will see you the following Friday. Amen. Bye.
Amen. Bye.
What's been keeping